Welcome to Radically Transparent, the number one podcast for the modern day marketer, presented by Octopost, the only social media and employee advocacy solution architected for B2B. Each episode shines a light on the inner workings of B2B leadership, including what keeps successful CEOs, CMOs, and VPs up at night professionally. The conversations are real, raw, and authentic, all while revealing the unfiltered, not-so-known truths of today's most interesting marketers. Introducing your host, Jennifer Gutman.
Hello, world. My next guest is a passionate storyteller and has launched international campaigns with viral impact and has strategized wildly successful company-wide rebranding initiatives for startups. In addition, she's contributed to Forbes, and she's also a regular contributor for Search Engine Journal, sharing her thoughts on content marketing, communication, and social media strategy in the fast-paced and ever-changing digital world. Please join me in welcoming Yael Klass, Vice President of Corporate Marketing of SimilarWeb, to the show. Yael, are you ready to get radically transparent with me?
Anything radical, I'm in.
I love it. That's what I love to hear. So listen, you're quite a success story, I would say, in general. And if anyone goes and heads over to LinkedIn and just looks at the history of your marketing career, it's an honor to have you on this show. So I want to actually kick off with a question that has really made the show. And I love it, right? Because it helps us understand what is going on inside of a marketing leader's mind. But Yael, what is keeping you up at night professionally these days?
It's good you added professionally, because otherwise I would say my children. I think that lately what keeps me up at night is measuring the impact of brand. Just really understanding the value of brand keeps me up at night for sure.
And is that something, I mean, what about it is keeping you up? I mean, is it just how to measure it, or is it in 2024 with everything in the world going on, it's become harder to prove the value of, or why is it keeping you up?
Yeah. So I work at SimilarWeb, which is a data intelligence company. And we have a saying, which is if it doesn't get measured, it doesn't get managed, which I believe in wholeheartedly. And I think that it's challenging because brand specifically in marketing is really difficult. We can measure it overall, right? So for example, when I was working at Wix on a Super Bowl campaign, it was actually pretty clear. Here's a huge event. I can measure the impact on brand. But when you're doing day-to-day business as usual, it's challenging to understand what is the real source of impact. Where do I put more attention? What is the lifetime ROI of brand, especially when you're doing resource allocation, right? So we can't do everything. Even I work at a pretty big company, we still can't do everything. So when I'm choosing where to put resources, how do I know that, you know, the impact of long-term brand is really there and it is more important than other maybe short-term tactics that are easier to measure?
Yeah, totally, totally. And I think what's tricky about brand as well is, it, from my experience in all things brand, right? It's not something where our sales counterparts, you know, you drive a sales cycle, you close it and up, okay, you know the exact deal size, you know how much ARR is going to be contributed. You also understand a lot more about the direct impact, or right, you hire sales and it translates directly into dollars, right? How are you measuring brand, and have you found that magic code in order to be able to translate all the brand work you're doing into those dollars?
So there's a lot of things that we measure. For example, we're measuring on social media, of course, all of our engagement metrics, which are really important, on YouTube as well, right? We're looking at video views. We're looking at impressions and followers and engagement of social content. In PR, we're looking at reach in the publications. We're looking at volume of publications, volume of mentions. We're doing customer surveys and prospect surveys. And we believe that the experience of delighting a prospect or delighting a customer can be reflected in some of those surveys. And that's a reflection of brand. We look at share of voice. We look at sentiment. And of course, we're looking at the, at the end of the day, we're looking at business value, right? So we're also looking at traffic from brand, let's say brand specific channels. So there's a lot to be measured and tactically a lot to look at. I think the question, the challenge, the why it keeps me up at night is, okay, how do I ensure that the value of brand is more than the sum of its parts? What's that sort of extra oomph? And because marketing is sort of part art, part science, I think brand is the most art part of that dynamic, which I believe in wholeheartedly. And I want to just always sort of get down to the nitty gritty of how do I reflect the value that I feel intrinsically in dollars and cents.
Yeah, that makes sense. You mentioned, one of the aspects of brand that you're measuring is when it comes to social media, and you mentioned followers and engagements. But I want to throw a question your way, because when I think about social media, I think there's usually a debate, right? And it's a similar with brand, right? How do you measure the impact of social? How do you measure if social media, your social media strategy is translating into dollars? And it kind of, I think a lot of times has the same debates that brand has. And it's often managed by brand. So in your opinion, should social media be measured on followers and engagement? Or do you think it should be measured on and around traffic?
The ongoing debate I have with myself and also with my executive team. So the short answer is it should be measured on both. Because I think that engagement is a really critical sign of content value. And you want to know that you're actually producing quality content for the right audience at all times. And the way to learn that, I think, is engagement. And not all excellent content can be a link post that drives traffic, and it shouldn't be. That's the job of PPC, not over organic social necessarily. So engagement is really critical when you're devising your content strategy and understanding your audience. But traffic is very important as well. So we have KPIs in my team, both for traffic and engagement. In the past, we had it for followers. And I think for some business, growing followers is really important. Like if you're generally B2C or you're D2C or you're a startup and you're just getting started, followers are really, really critical. But part of the reason that they're critical is to have critical learnings for your PPC team, for your paid social team. In my opinion, I don't think followers are the be-all, end-all for organic social.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. And it's interesting, right? Because with followers, and we know all different ways you can get followers, you can pay for followers. There's a lot of interesting, right, like tactics, growth hacks to gain those followers. So I think it's interesting. And I do think that taking into consideration a measurement of both is probably the most strategic way to go about measuring organic social. I want to shift for a moment because I think one of the hottest topics, and I open LinkedIn, open Google, open any journal, open, you know, any marketing B2B magazine these days. And AI is literally, I think, at the top of every trending topic, authored piece of work. And all of us maybe are a little bit concerned, right? Like, what is AI going to look like for marketing, for marketers, for marketing teams? Is it going to steal our job? What is that going to look like? So I'm really curious to hear, you know, from where you sit, what do you think AI is going to impact most when it comes to the way we work?
Yeah. So first of all, with AI specifically, and not all things, like not my cell phone, but definitely with AI, I would consider myself an early adopter. I'm incredibly passionate about understanding how AI can impact the scalability of the work in the marketing organization. And I think that there is logical concern of this sort of story of, will it steal my job? So I would say, to that question, will it steal my job? No. Will many execution functions have a different R&R, have different responsibilities, and in fact have a different job in the future? Yes. So do we still need a sizable workforce? Yes, but the function will change. So for example, content, the role of sort of collecting information from stakeholders and putting that into, let's say, tofu blog content, I don't think that that's going to be a relevant job in the future. I think that AI will be able to write those tofu blogs for you. Where it will change is content will need to be a real critical stakeholder in understanding business strategy and product, and even get closer to a product marketing function to provide the unique value that AI cannot capture, and that unique story that combines the values of the audience and the product in a different way. So I think it's sort of going to require every execution function to level up, to be more strategic, more business-minded, more aligned to the value of the product. And in design, I also think that there's a change from, let's say, I manage designers as well, so moving from an execution function to being something closer to a creative director. So for those that are excited about elevating their work to having strategic impact or creative direction, I think it's thrilling. And for those that are less interested in that, I think that it's worthwhile to consider if their role can change to being an operational execution manager of the work plus really knowledgeable in AI to be able to scale that work.
Absolutely. What do you think for those listening in, right? And many of us are marketing leaders. We have teams that we manage. What do you think in the future, I don't know, a few years from now with AI having such a big impact, what do you think is the most mission critical skill that you would be hiring for, knowing that a lot of these roles will change so that they don't become obsolete, but right, the skill set required to do them will change?
Storytelling. I think that AI has a long way to go in terms of meaningful storytelling. And I think there's going to be such an unbelievable boom in production and volume of work that that creative edge and that unique story and that unique perspective is going to be what sets apart excellent marketing from all of the rest. And that's going to be harder and harder. So I think really understanding in your own medium, whether it's social, whether it's content, whether it's design, whether it's video, understanding how to really tell exciting stories that grab attention and provide value is going to be the most critical skill.
Absolutely. So listen, you mentioned something right now, right? You said, right, becoming a great storyteller or having the skills to tell that powerful story. I would couple with that probably also like critical thinking, right? The ability to understand, right, when AI is lying to you. Like, so if you put in your prompts, right, and it's pulling back information and you don't have the ability to critical think and be thinking, well, that's not accurate, or let me check that, or where does that come in? But I think where that goes, again, when you take a storyteller, it also brings to my mind experts and thought leaders, right? We're hearing a lot in the marketing world, and I think in general, when it comes to LinkedIn, right, that LinkedIn and knowing how to navigate LinkedIn and becoming an industry expert is the new professionalism of LinkedIn. And no matter what industry you're in, you need to be an expert in your field or in your verticals or whatever it is you do. So if today everybody is a thought leader or anybody becomes an expert, with the introduction of AI, where it's so easy, right, to literally teach yourself and train yourself, right? How, in a world with AI so heavily intertwined in it, how do you think that we're going to be able to gain authority or become a true thought leader if everyone is using AI to become one? What will the new definition of expert actually look like? And especially on social, as many of us marketers are, you know, we're the thought leaders, you know, on social media and helping our employees become those as well.
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. So first of all, the notion that you mentioned earlier about the importance of critical thought, I don't think is limited to a concern around AI and marketing, I think that there's a real concern in society about what will happen without critical thought when we're being fed information. That's challenging overall. And in terms of becoming a thought leader, I think the concept now is a thought leader equals a person that knows a lot about a thing, right, that's happening. But I don't need to know a lot about anything. I can search for it. Nobody these days needs to know much about much, because you can find it at your fingertips. So I think a thought leader knowing a lot on a topic will change. It's that additional critical thought to be able to present signals to what will happen in the future. That I think will be the new version of a thought leader. Can you take the information that is at your fingertips and add your own perspective that can give some sense of what is coming and what to look out for next? How different areas of marketing in the future will relate to one another is not something that AI can give us at this time. And that's the real added value of true expertise.
Yeah. I think that's definitely the I don't know, trend or the focus that I have my eye on, right? Because, you know, at Octopus, we promote a lot about employee advocacy and getting your workforce to be, you know, voices of the brand and involved in sharing your message, right? And then when I think about, right, what we've been trying to do over the last 10 years, if you will, and helping our employees be positioned as those thought leaders and trusted, right? We want to be able to maintain that trust as a thought leader. But then again, if everybody's using AI, that's right. In marketing, we're already trying to stand out above the noise. So what is that world going to look like? And, you know, speaking of that, just going to throw this in there, as you were speaking earlier about, right, where you think AI is going to have the greatest impact in marketing, which is assisting with the top of funnel content. What about SEO?
The $1 million question. What about SEO? So first of all, I think we know in recent years that the expertise of authorship is already making a very significant impact on SEO. So the notion that, you know, even 5 years ago when I was working, when I was managing a blog, I could scale by having a bunch of ghostwriters write content and it would perform equally as well as experts inside of my division writing that content. And I'm seeing that change already, which I find very interesting, and that will make an impact on scale. And I think it should. I think that's a healthy change in the SEO space, because otherwise we're just flooded with way too much volume. I'm more curious about what will happen with publishers and media with AI. I think that it's important for marketers to look at what happens in the publishing space and to really keep a keen eye on that, because I think that is what's going to give us the signals of what's going to happen in our space in marketing. And I also think, going back to storytelling, so anecdotal stories are what connects humans and creates real value and thought leadership and loyal readership and trust in trying someone's recommendation. So I think moving from some of this formal content where, you know, I can get an SEO brief and I have all of the technical components, and that's great, but I think it won't be enough in the SEO space to rank. I think you're actually going to need customer testimonials and unique visual content and anecdotal information that includes things like failures and internal surveys and the real sort of gritty, more difficult work to rank very soon. I don't think that you're going to be able to rely on the technical components that we rely on now.
It's interesting. And I think what's also interesting just about SEO in general is when it comes to AI, right, you have Google, you have Meta, and in some ways, right, we are fighting against an algorithm that, you know, I'm pretty certain that they've probably also incorporated some form of AI into, you know, how they're doing what they're doing. So in some reality, right, like, are we fighting against something, right, with SEO? Are we, you know, going to be having and able to control the SEO as much as we would like? Or, you know, are these big corporations going to be really controlling it for us? And then at the end of the day, if they're using AI engines to do that, is AI actually controlling us? Like, that's also something that goes, you know, through my mind, is like, who's going to have that power to determine that? Is it actually going to be a human at the end of the day? Or maybe it's just literally going to be AI. And how do we we work with that? But something else that you brought up with the storytelling, also that kind of got my mind thinking, right? So for someone like you, who is quite strategic, right? And we know that when it comes to the world of content marketing, that there is so much content available at any point of day, at any time, on any platform. It's at our fingertips, Google, right? You name it, you want to learn about it, you can find it. What do you think is the tipping point in terms of the new way that we're going to be needing to write or tell our stories, between something that's personal, right? The anecdotes you mentioned, or the customer testimonials, but also that it's not fatiguing you, that it's like, all right, everybody has this customer testimony, or everybody has this style of a story, so that you don't feel so flooded. So where do you think that balance will lie?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think we're getting to a stage where we need to, like, as I say to my team, cut the fluff. It just doesn't serve us anymore, especially in long form content, for multiple reasons. One, because there's just entirely too much content available, and a lot of it is very repetitive. So, and the other is that most people have shorter attention spans. So I would say being significantly more clear about the audience and the need of that audience, and cutting the fluff and getting right down to that pain point. And I think as it stands today, to do that analysis is something that it requires the human mind and not AI, right? You can get sort of a baseline for an initial content strategy, for example, an audience, right? So for my organization, I'm creating content for executive marketers at companies between 50 and 200 employees. That AI might be able to help me with, but what are they reading? What kinds of things do they need? What are their pain points specifically in Q1 of 2024 because of the macroeconomic situation in their region, right? That requires real strategic thinking that AI will not know that I need to know before writing a post. So having that sort of human perspective of the value and what's happening culturally and societally and in the professional space will be what sets great content apart.
Totally. So let me ask you, Yael, do you think in, let's say, I don't know, 2024, maybe 2025, that SimilarWeb may be hiring for, you know, an AI marketing manager role? Do you think marketing teams are going to need to hire that role? Maybe someone, right, in that job description knows how to write prompts that are going to be able to spit back the right information. Do you think that this is going to be a role that maybe is like popping up as maybe the next big new role in marketing?
Yes, without a doubt. I mean, I would be absolutely delighted to hire an AI expert today. I think it's going to be really critical for businesses that are looking to grow to have an AI expert that's responsibility is not just understanding, you know, Bard and ChatGPT, but the AI tools are growing at exponential rates. And I don't think that we can keep up with understanding how that technology can serve our business. And having a point person, like, my recommendation would be having an AI expert in marketing that maybe covers a few areas of marketing, also operations, also content, also design, also video. We do sort of mini hackathons in my team, and we explore what new tools are coming about that can help us scale our work. And we do an assessment of, okay, what of our work is bespoke, and what components of our work can be templatized, and can any of those components be templatized with AI? We do this on a recurring basis. So I definitely think that role is going to become essential. And on prompts, I have a few incredible team members that took my sort of out there project right after ChatGPT opened its doors. I asked them to build out a prompt generator. We call it the Content Alchemist. And we essentially built a tool ourselves where we took all of the product marketing, positioning, and messaging, all of our content Bibles, all of our brand guides, all of our directories, and we put it into a system. And then we created sort of the infrastructure for this is the structure of this kind of landing page. This is the structure for this kind of email. We taught that all of that information, our tool, all of that information, we filter it, and then we get an incredibly robust, thorough prompt based on all of that, you know, hundreds of pages of information. We put that enormous prompt into ChatGPT. We get that asset back, and then we start playing with it. So that is what we do already to work on scaling our content.
That is outstanding. What is the name of this?
We named it the Content Alchemist.
Oh, I love it. I think everyone needs one.
It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
It sounds fantastic. So listen, with that said, the Content Alchemist, you know, we'll expect maybe we need to patent that, you know, you got to get the...
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have shared it quite yet. No. Everyone should make their own Content Alchemist.
We'll get that, you know, patent for you. And then, so last question for you. And as I said earlier, you are so impressive. And every conversation prior to the podcast that we've had, you know, it's so enlightening. I'm curious to understand from you, what's something that you can tell us about yourself that we cannot learn about you from your LinkedIn profile, or if we go ahead and put some prompts into ChatGPT?
That's nice. Thank you for asking. And by the way, thank you for saying those really lovely things about me. I appreciate it. So my background before marketing is I was an artist. I was living in New York as a professional actor, and I was creating theater, producer, director, things like that. Yeah, pretty fun. Yes, very fun. So I think that part of my professional life is no longer in my LinkedIn. And as I've grown in the marketing space, I talk about it less and less. But that was my background. That is my background. And a lot of the work and the way that I... sort of the lens at which I look at the world and look at a lot of my problems, I think, is based on a lot of artistic methodology that I've learned, how to enter the unknown, how to plan, how to sort of orchestrate. I very recently led the marketing and corporate communications for an acquisition for my company. And it did feel like I was touching on something that was more like directing theater or orchestrating, in terms of being able to have a very clear vision, understanding the experience of the audience of that vision, and making sure that everyone is playing their role to get to that same outcome. So I think my background in the arts is definitely sort of the secret part of me that I tend to use more often than I realize.
I love that. Well, I hope in every launch, in every new campaign, you break a leg. And thank you so much for joining us. Yael, if anybody listening in wants to learn more about SimilarWeb, perhaps they have questions about AI, or they want to just connect with a fellow marketer, where's the best place to reach you?
Yeah, great. Thanks for asking. So you can absolutely look me up, Yael Klass, on LinkedIn. I'm very active there, and I intend to be more active there. Also, I write a lot of op-eds for Forbes, so you can check out my articles on Forbes and then SimilarWeb.com.
Fantastic, Yael. Thank you so much for getting radically transparent.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Radically Transparent podcast, brought to you by Octopost, the only social media management and employee advocacy platform architected for B2B. I'm Jennifer Gutman, your host and director of product and customer marketing at Octopost. If you love today's show and want us to create even more radically transparent content, we'd love for you to follow, rate, and give a raving review wherever you get your podcasts. If you're listening on the Apple Podcast app, simply scroll to ratings and reviews and tap those 5 stars. For more discussion on B2B marketing, be sure to follow Octopost on LinkedIn, X, and YouTube. And of course, to gain access to all our free social media marketing and employee advocacy resources, head on over to www.octopost.com. That's www.octopost.com. Until next time.